Sometimes it just don't pay to be the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that never wears a safety helmet. He was elected to his squad to take the point. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another thrill-packed episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. If my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, didn't tell you, I am Doug Jones. I'm your podcast host and your Medicare guru for today and possibly for all of eternity, depending on how long I last. I'd like to think that I'm going to last a really long time, so you will have me as a Medicare tool in order to determine what needs to be done when Medicare time shows up for you. One thing I would suggest is my usefulness as a tool can be multiplied. If you were to go to Amazon.com and purchase my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024, by purchasing and taking the short period of time to read this book, you're going to gain Medicare expertise that few people in the Western Hemisphere have the opportunity to gain. It'll be a rewarding experience. It'll be very painless, and it will, you know, be probably the kind of knowledge that you can use to assist your fellow man when his or her time for Medicare also arrives. But more importantly, let's talk about your welfare. If you read Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024, you're going to find out exactly what kinds of coverages you need for full protection and what kinds of coverages are not going to be worthwhile for you to even think about. So you can shorten the whole process of decision-making and executing. So I would go to Amazon.com. Put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 in the search window, then you're going to have your choice of four different versions of that book. Either one, any of them, will give you exactly the same knowledge. It's all in how it's delivered into your brain. You can listen to it, you can read it on the Kindle, you can read it in a paperback, or you can lord it over other people by reading the expensive and beautifully constructed hardcover edition. Any of those four elements editions of the book are going to deliver the Medicare knowledge that you seek. So, speaking of seeking, I seek knowledge about the background of Randy Carson, who is sitting in a room that I didn't recognize before, but he tilted his head and I saw that it's a library. He lied to me. It purports to be a new building acquisition of the Medicare for the Lazy Man empire. But when he leaned over a minute ago, I saw that there was somebody back there sitting at a library desk studying. Is that right, Randy? Do you have other people in that building that are studying?
Yes, I do. And I don't know whether you noticed it, but that person back there sitting, studying, they have been there for a long time.
They're not real lively. It doesn't look like they're moving around that much.
He hasn't moved an inch.
Oh, my God. I think he's sleeping.
This is a college library, so he's probably taken a nap.
He's probably had a big night the night before.
And he
says, okay, if I just go to the library purporting to study but take a nap, the knowledge will still flow into my head, and it'll like I did what I was supposed to do instead of sleeping. Well, that's not the way it worked for me when I was in college, but maybe it'll work for him. I spent a long time trying to figure out study habits and how to study things effectively. It was not as much fun as the other activities that I had when I went to college.
Well, I discovered early on, and this is just a nature of who I am, but I don't study. Because I am better off, and I don't cram the night before. I don't do any of that. I am better off listening in class very intently. I don't take notes. I just listen. And that's bottom line is, I don't know how I do it, but when I get into the test, it's like my brain goes, here, this is it right here. It's like I've got an indexing scheme in there.
Well, this must be why you have the patience to deal with very persnickety computer type problems and technological yes. problems. I have no patience for that stuff whatsoever. It disturbs me that that machine is not doing my bidding, and it makes me very angry. And when I study, especially, you know, back in school or when I take classes for continuing education, as insurance people are wont to do, I have to do a lot of scribbling. And for some reason, the act of writing, taking notes, puts the information in my head much better than listening does.
Yes. So I totally agree with you.
I don't know why the difference. Is our brain structure that much different? I don't know. No, it can't be, because we both enjoy Guinness.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I'm totally on board with that, Doug, because if, you know, and when I was in college, you know, we used to have clay tablets.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And a lot
yes.
of people
and a
would,
chisel and a hammer.
And a chisel and a hammer. And a lot of people would spend their entire lecture trying to record every nuance of that lecture. Well, I discovered that because of the way my brain works, if I spent that much focus on trying to take the notes, I wasn't learning anything. So yeah. I was better off just listening intently. And then if I had a few little points, I'd jot the points down. But other than that, I needed to listen to the instructor.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's understandable how a brain could work either of those two ways. And I'll bet there is a third or fourth way that yes. Some students can acquire knowledge and make sure it stays in there long enough to take the test.
Well, just imagine, because I met you coming on 6 years now, and now I actually know something, a little bit, about Medicare.
And I was really excited the other, you know, a few episodes ago when you mentioned my last name, because I thought you had trouble remembering my last name, but it has stuck now.
It has stuck. It has absolutely stuck. The only one that I had a bit of trouble with in the, you know, in the beginning was the B. I knew what the yeah. B stood for, but I for some reason, I couldn't get it through my head in terms of how it was pronounced.
That might have been a problem. My default microphone has changed. Apparently
it has.
Now I'm speaking to you through the screen.
No,
I don't know why.
No,
that
you're,
would be.
No, your big boy mic's back.
Oh, okay, great. I don't know why this happens, but I was going to say the B, my middle initial, does not stand for my 1,000-year-old family name from Normandy, France, through England. It stands for Brian with a Y, which came from the Oklahoma City telephone directory. I think.
Well,
my
there
parents,
you go. I mean, that's the place to pick them all out.
Yeah, I only know a little bit about what was going on around the time I was born in Oklahoma City back in the prior millennium. But one of the things that happened was that my father had recently been released from a hospitalization due to an appendectomy, and so he was weakened. And when I was born, it was in January, there was a snowstorm, or an ice storm, as happens in Oklahoma, ice all over the place. And so he had to use a chisel to get the garage door open so that his Plymouth could take my mother, who was in labor, to the hospital to have me. So he apparently got her to the hospital, took her inside, handed her over to the orderlies that took her to a room to, or whatever, you know, facility they had to deliver kids back then. And then he was standing next to a wall of radiators, because hot water was the heat of choice in public buildings back then. And the heat caused him to keel over. He just went unconscious and keeled over on the floor. And so he said he felt like a real sissy when describing that, or when the other expectant fathers saw that he fell over and, you know, fainted. So then, of course, they had to have a celebratory cigarette, I'm sure, when the birthing process was over. And then they had to figure out what the name was going to be. So the Douglas was Douglas MacArthur. The Jones was because that was my father's name. And the Brian came from the Oklahoma City telephone directory, which I'm sure that selection was made during cocktail hour right after I was born.
Absolutely. Well, you know something? If your dad got warm enough next to a radiator to pass out, that uh-huh. must have been one freaking hot radiator, I'm telling you.
Well, I think it was a wall. He described it to me once as a wall of radiators. So it was probably a big, huge room, and it was hard to heat that room. There wasn't forced air coming in from all over the place.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, remember, he had been doing a lot of physical labor out in the cold during an ice storm, shipping ice away from the garage door. Now, I would have, I've never had that experience because I've always had a garage door opener.
I got one short, real quick story to tell you about an ice storm. Okay, Margaret and I, when we were dating, there was a big ice storm in Omaha. Okay, so she was driving. We happened to be wanting to go someplace, and we were going to take her Volkswagen Rabbit.
Oh boy!
Back in the day,
there's some very elegant transportation.
Oh yes. There was actually, you know, people wanted Volkswagen Rabbits to actually go in parades with. They were so good looking. Other than that, the bottom line is I thought, well, okay, let's take her rabbit. And so she gets in the driver's. She's going to drive it. I don't remember which one. Anyways, I think I was trying to get in the passenger side, and she was already in. Yeah, that's the way it works. She was already in. She was going to drive, and I was going to get in the passenger side. Well, okay, so I reached down to open the door on the passenger side of this rabbit, and it was frozen shut.
Okay.
Because of the ice storm.
Yeah, yeah.
Or so I thought.
Oh.
So I said, oh, okay, I'm a big, healthy boy. I can wrench this thing open just by jerking on it.
Yeah.
And, okay, so.
And, of course, that German engineering, that thing's going to be.
Yeah, there was good German engineering back then. So I gave it a big old heave-ho, and the handle came off in my hand.
Oh, boy.
And then Margaret goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to open the door. It's froze shut. She goes, no, it wasn't. It was locked. So then I felt like, I shrunk about 6 inches.
Except for the fact that you were like Stretch Armstrong by yanking that handle right off the car. Want me to come over and yank your handle, baby?
That's right. That's right. And I don't have it locked either.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, I would say that worse things have happened to Volkswagen Rabbits. It's those things were not designed to stand up under a lot of abuse, and you provided just the right amount of abuse to that door.
I got one more short story. That same rabbit.
Here's the thing. Our audience is waiting anxiously.
It used to whistle. It would build up pressure in the fuel tank and whistle. Nobody could figure out why. I spent literally thousands of dollars trying to get the fuel tank to quit whistling. It never did, so I sold the frickin' car.
Well, that was probably the right thing to do. typically, a fuel tank should build up, not pressure, but should have suction. It should have, instead of higher pressure, it should have lower pressure as the fuel is drawn out by the fuel pump.
Well, in this particular, there was something dramatically wrong, and, you know, $8 million. Yeah, I was a college kid. I didn't have this kind of money. $8 million later, we still had a whistle, and we were short about $500.
Well, I would have just whistled along with it, maybe ignored it. All righty. We got to get going here. The audience is going to get.
We got to make some money here, Doug.
Absolutely. Let's get going. First thing, right on top of the curation pile from the content curator, news from the Blues. That's how the Blue Cross Blue Shield organization, at least the organization owned by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Company of Illinois, announces its newsletter items to their agents. In this case, they're talking about one of their subsidiaries, the Texas Blue Cross Blue Shield organization, and their big news is a refutation of what I announced a few episodes ago. They have cut a deal with the large hospital chain in North Texas in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, HCA Healthcare. They are staying in the Blue Cross Blue Shield networks, and I believe that was like a last-minute decision. People who had doctors that they liked, that they preferred to go to in that chain of hospitals, they were stuck, and they would have been horribly inconvenienced because their Medicare Advantage plans were going to lose all of those doctors, and those doctors would not be allowed to accept patients who wanted the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas to pay their bills. And so this would have meant a big scramble by all of those members of Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare Advantage plans who were not going to have their medical bills at the HCA Healthcare North Texas facilities anymore. I think it was 18 hospitals and probably many doctors. Well, they've come to an agreement, so everybody can relax until the next hospital chain that wants to actually make a profit or not be frustrated by these Medicare Advantage plans and their almost abuse of their patients by denying prior authorization and so forth. I don't know what the exact circumstances of the dispute in this case was, but it is indicative of the fact that people often are disappointed by the Medicare Advantage plans. Those plans are not recommended by me because they just have a propensity to cause all kinds of problems. And frankly, I've been on Medicare with a Medicare supplement ever since I turned 65, and no disappointment whatsoever. I can go see any doctor I want, anytime I want, and if it's medically necessary, the doctor's bill will not exceed what Medicare allows, and it will be paid, and I have always been a happy camper. Next item from the pile of curated content. How long do Medicare enrollees wait to see a doctor? Well, there is apparently growing awareness that there are not as many primary care physicians as there should be to handle all of the workload that is being expected of them. And in this particular article, there is a indication that people have to wait longer than they should to get an appointment with a primary care physician. A survey of beneficiaries enrolled in both original Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans revealed a common problem. More than a third of those polled had to wait a month or more to get in to see a doctor. And Advantage enrollees are more likely than original Medicare beneficiaries to face delays getting care because the health plan had to approve the service ahead of time. That's Advantage plans for you. More roadblocks standing in the way of prompt, efficient care. Despite the wait time issue, more than two-thirds of beneficiaries, they use the term beneficiaries, I would say participants, more than two-thirds of the participants, whether enrolled in original Medicare or a Medicare Advantage plan, say that the health care program for older Americans and people with disabilities is fully meeting their expectations, according to a new report. Let's see, this study had was an online sample of about 3,200 Medicare participants who were asked about the value of their care, measuring such factors as access to benefits, services, providers, where their care was coordinated, or whether their care was coordinated, and how satisfied they were. There were almost 2,000 survey respondents in Medicare Advantage and 1,300 respondents in traditional Medicare. Wait times can be long. This is not the first data to show that many people on Medicare have to wait for over a month to see a physician. 36% of the survey respondents who were enrolled in an Advantage plan said that within the past 2 years, they had waited more than a month to see a doctor. A smaller, slightly smaller number, 34% of enrollees in original Medicare had a similar waiting time. And here we go. Prior authorizations, which are a thing only with Medicare Advantage plans, prior authorizations can lead to delays. A major focus of the survey was to determine whether people's experiences with Medicare differed based on whether they enrolled in original Medicare or in an Advantage plan. Overall, it appears that the experiences are similar regardless of their type of coverage. The bottom line is that people seem to be relatively happy with their coverage. Most people seem to be relatively happy. 65% of the enrollees in original Medicare and Medicare Advantage said that their coverage fully met their expectations. Another 31% of Medicare Advantage plan members and 28% of original Medicare members said that the program somewhat met their expectations. There was a difference when it came to people who reported that their care was delayed because it needed advanced approval, often called prior authorization. And that is something that happens only with Medicare Advantage plans. Among those with a Medicare Advantage plan, 22% said that their care was delayed while they waited to get it approved, while only 13% of respondents with original Medicare had to wait for an okay. I don't know why there would be any waiting for an okay if you have original Medicare. So that is something that really doesn't make any sense to me. Improving the priority or the prior authorization process is a priority for the government. In Medicare Advantage, the government is removing barriers to ensure that Medicare Advantage enrollees get the care they need and are entitled to. So they're trying to streamline the prior authorization process by, for example, improving the electronic exchange of health information. Prior authorization can lead to delays. Same headline, two different places in the same article. A major focus of the survey was to determine whether people's experiences with Medicare differed based on whether they enrolled in an Advantage plan or in regular Medicare. Overall, it appears that the experiences of people are similar regardless of their type of coverage. Among those with a Medicare Advantage plan, 22% said the care was delayed and while they waited to get it approved, while only 13% of respondents in original Medicare had to wait for an okay. I'm going to say again, I don't understand that. I don't understand why the information was repeated later in the article, and I don't understand why anybody with original Medicare plus a Medicare Medicare supplement plan would ever have to wait. Let's see. And then they talk about the supplemental benefits in Medicare Advantage plans, dental, vision, and hearing services that are not covered under original Medicare. The survey found 69% had not used any of their supplemental benefits, and about a quarter of those respondents said that they didn't use them because they didn't know what benefits they had. 42% said they used their dental benefit, and 41% said they used their vision benefit. Government officials have recognized that often enrollees do not take advantage of some of these extras. Under a proposed regulation, halfway through each year, insurers will have to send a letter to enrollees letting them know what services they're entitled to but have not used. Now, that's going to add to their bottom line, I'm sure. Actually, it's going to add to their expenses. This is the time when I suggest to Randy that we go out and have a cigarette. The only problem with that is that he and I have both stopped smoking. So we're just going to sit here in silence and enjoy these commercials. Welcome back. That was a refreshing pause. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. What do we have next? We have an article that has two parts in it. The small beginning part says Medicare's physical exam is not a true physical exam. Federal statutes clearly prohibit Medicare from paying for annual physical examinations. However, the Affordable Care Act, that's Obamacare, introduced Medicare's version called the Initial Preventive Physical Examination. This preventive service does not even resemble a physical exam. There is no palpation. Palpation, it sounds dirty, but it's actually feeling with the fingers or hands. There is no auscultation, which is listening to body sounds, and there is no percussion, which is tapping body parts. These are all essential components of a physical examination, and you don't get that with Medicare's physical exam. So that's why they're saying it's not a true physical exam. And the next little article, which is slightly longer, is Did You Know? Medicare does not cover a physical exam. The Welcome to Medicare Preventive Physical Exam is not a physical exam. A friend new to Medicare asked me whether Medicare covered annual physicals. I told him, no, it doesn't. The Social Security Act clearly prohibits Medicare from paying for annual physical examinations. A week later, he told me I was wrong. He found proof that Medicare does indeed cover these examinations. Physical exams right there on the government website in the list of services that Part B covers. I replied that I wasn't wrong. Health and Human Services, the government agency, just shortened the title for a preventive service that Medicare does cover. The ACA, which is Obamacare, introduced the initial preventive physical examination. This preventive service for those with Medicare does not resemble a physical exam. There is no palpation, and we discussed this, no listening, no tapping. And these are all essential components of a regular physical examination. And unlike annual physicals, you only get one visit within the first 12 months of your enrollment in Part B of original Medicare. So let's see, Medicare now calls this service a Welcome to Medicare preventive visit. The Welcome to Medicare visit is a review of your medical and social history and counseling about preventive services. They measure your height, weight, blood pressure. They calculate your body mass index, a sample vision test, a review of risk factors for depression, functional ability, and safety level, and current opioid prescriptions, screening for visual acuity and potential substance use disorder, education, counseling, and referral based on previous components, and end-of-life planning if the patient consents. The hospital's owned by, and the medical practice is owned by the hospital in Chicago that I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, Northwestern Memorial, which is a huge Medicare or medical octopus of services that's reaching out from Chicago to all the suburban areas. Those guys are supposed to ask if there's anybody that we live with that we're afraid of. And every time I mention that I'm afraid of my spousal unit, they laugh politely and move along. So I don't know, really. Annual Medicare wellness visit. Medicare offers a second type of preventive visit. This one is every 12 months. It may be annual, but this visit is not a physical exam. The purpose is to update the personalized prevention plan. The components include a review of medical and family history, height, weight, blood pressure, and other routine measurements, detection of cognitive impairment, personalized health advice, updating the list of current providers, suppliers, prescriptions, and health risk factors, advanced care planning. Now, both of these visits address plans for screening, vaccinations, and other preventive services, including these preventive services: flu and COVID vaccinations, RSV vaccines, annual mammogram. They've never asked me if I want an annual mammogram. Prostate cancer screening and colonoscopy. So the important points of this article are: there is no cost for the initial welcome or the annual wellness visits under Medicare. However, if the physician addresses a medical problem, such as elevated blood pressure, don't be surprised if you get a bill. That's because the visit would be considered diagnostic and the cost-sharing deductible and or copayment would apply. If you have original Medicare, you should see providers who accept Medicare assignment. That's almost all doctors. That's more than 90% of all doctors. If you choose a Medicare Advantage plan, schedule your appointments with an in-network physician, most likely your primary physician. And otherwise, they're not going to pay for your visit. You're going to have to pay for it yourself if you violate the Medicare Advantage plan's many, many rules. And this is the author talking. Here is what my friend and you need to know about annual physical exams. Even though Medicare does not cover them, you can still get a physical exam, but know that you may have to pay for parts or for all of it. For example, Part B would cover an EKG or a chest X-ray for medical reasons, like an abnormal heart rhythm or a severe lung congestion. But the usual cost, they would cover that with the usual cost sharing. Some Medicare Advantage plans offer routine physical exams, generally when performed by the primary care physician. Check for the plan's evidence of coverage, which is a fun document to read to find out whether or not they are going to cover that kind of stuff. Finally, no matter what the problem, know that what you read on a website may not be correct. Double check the coverage before you proceed. So by yump and yemeny, that is an important thing to remember. Let's back up and read the headlines again. Medicare does not cover a physical examination. There is a one-time only welcome to Medicare preventive visit that you can have sometime in your first 12 months as a Medicare participant or a Medicare Advantage participant. And after that, you get an annual Medicare wellness visit that will build upon the information that was discussed in that first visit and will theoretically point you in the right direction for future medical stuff. So, hey, pretty exciting stuff, huh, Randy? Randy, hey, oh boy. I put him to sleep with this. I'll tell you right now.
Medicare, oh my God, I'm awake now. Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know. I thought I was going to have to sit here and yak all day.
Oh my God, no.
We might have lost the audience if that happened.
It's really not that boring. I was just, you know, Have you ever read the scientific reason that people yawn?
I have not. I have no idea why people yawn.
Well, it's kind of a mystery, but bottom line is most people think that there's a deficit of oxygen balance, and you're picking up a little more oxygen to get the thing in balance again, is what it is.
Really? That seems a little odd, because when I yawn, it's typically right before I go unconscious, and I use the smallest amount of oxygen ever.
Well, you know, it could be that you're just a little bit different.
Yeah, I've been accused of that a few times, let me tell you.
Oh, okay, boy. Well, you know something, Doug? We got to land the plane.
Alrighty.
We're coming in on, a wing and a prayer here, because we are just about out of fuel and just about out of our 75 cents worth of time. But before we do, before we turn final, we are going to go through a few things that I always want to go through. Number one is, if you want to reach out to Doug, you can do that using an email address of dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Remember that Doug is licensed nationwide. He takes test after test after test to do this, to make sure that he can help you anywhere in the nation with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We would appreciate it if you'd drop a couple reviews for us, because Doug works really hard on this stuff. Books, tapes, you name it, Doug's got it available for you as far as Medicare supplement planning and content. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places, but you were right here with us, which is where we like it. But if you weren't watching your watch, you just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. No more. I'm going to be nice to him today, because he's living in the high ground already. But I'm going to bring him down to where, it's 66 degrees out. I'm going to make sure that it's at least livable. I'm going to put him in at 7,500 feet.
Ah, boy, this is why I love Randy. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We will look forward to seeing your smiling faces at our next episode. Bye-bye.